Hello, my imaginary friends. Simon here, SM2N, on Audio Boom. I think it's Wednesday. Wednesday, yes. It's definitely the 11th of April, 2012, as I record this, and this is my Audio Boom audio blog. Right, thank you very much to Acrobat for his reply about Dropbox and iCloud. Very interesting. I've learned a few things about this. Thank you very much for that. What I want to say, a couple of points I want to pick up on. One was about the Windows integration. I should have thought of that, the Windows integration. Couple of reasons. One is, obviously, there's a lot of people that use their iPhone or iPod and synchronize with iTunes on a Windows PC. For those users, it's necessary for their iCloud service to synchronize their contacts and their email accounts, and I think even their photos. Yes, and the photos that all needs to sync up with the iPhone or iPod Touch. So it makes perfect sense. It's obvious that there's going to be an iCloud sort of control panel thing for Windows and. I remember there was one for a Mobile Me as well. I really should have thought about that element of it. But that's specifically around things like contacts and emails and stuff like that. The other reason I should have thought about this because when I was considering my move to iCloud, I had to look at the tech specs for my Macs because I've got some of the Macs I use are older Core Duo processors, and therefore they can't be upgraded to Lion, and Lion is the minimum requirement for iCloud. So in theory, iCloud is unsupported on Snow Leopard and Macs that run Snow Leopard. And I remember thinking how ludicrous that is, considering that they still support, on the Windows side, they support much older versions of Windows. I think Windows XP maybe even supported. So it's a bit sort of, I remember thinking at the time how naughty it was that they insist you get one of the latest Macs if you're a Mac user. But if you're a Windows user, then I don't mind you being having a much older computer, because it's not a Mac computer anyway, is it? So I should have known that. But what I'm not so sure about is on the application side. So Rob mentioned about applications have to be specifically written to take advantage of iCloud. And I wonder whether there's I don't know whether there's an API for Windows app developers to connect up to iCloud, and whether there's a good infrastructure for them as there would be for Macintosh and iOS developers. So if you've got any insight on that, Rob, as a developer yourself, an Apple certified developer. Not certified, but a member of the Apple Developer Program, whatever it is. Whether you've got any insight on that specifically. One of the things that Rob mentioned that I wanted to pick up was about that thing about apps being specifically written to make use of iCloud, and that by and large they have to also be written to make use of Dropbox by the same token. And I kind of, I agree with that in the sense of things like 1Password and OmniFocus and stuff like that, where they've been written to work with iCloud. to work with Dropbox. But because Dropbox is just an open folder, you can use apps that are not in any way written for Dropbox, particularly on the computer side. So, I could have an Office compatible document in my Dropbox, and on my Mac, I can open it up using OpenOffice or Pages or Numbers or whatever. I can open up the document and then save it back into that folder, and the app has not been written specifically to work with Dropbox. That's not quite the same as having an app that's synchronized across different devices, but it's data that's synchronized across different devices that are accessible by apps that have not been written specifically for Dropbox. And there's the difference with iCloud, because I don't think with iCloud that there's a storage device that you can use, just at the normal operating system level. It's not like with MobileMe and iTools before that, where you had an iDisk, which was which was obviously a forerunner to Dropbox, and gave you the same synchronized folder across different devices. You haven't got that anymore with iCloud, so that is a significant difference, I think, with Dropbox, that you can use apps that are not designed specifically for use with Dropbox. Now there's going to be one disadvantage if you go with Dropbox for those kinds of apps, and that would be the Apple apps themselves. So if you have Pages, Numbers, Keynote on your iOS device, they're written specifically to work with iCloud, and they will synchronize data or read from and save to iCloud. Then they're not written to work with Dropbox, because Apple obviously don't want to, at this point they've not made the decision to support Dropbox, because they want people to use iCloud instead. Understandable that they would leverage their ability there to close off Dropbox and give iCloud a competitive advantage in the arena of the Apple iOS productivity apps. Whereas obviously you can get other applications, say Office compatible apps. There are various available in the iOS App Store that will write and read to and from your Dropbox. So there are options if you use non-Apple productivity apps. So, yeah. Okay, and the last thing I want to touch on, and this was a real learning for me, was about this copyright issue. So Rob was saying that, if you've got a public folder, you better not put copyright content in there. But anything else, you're allowed to put copyright content in there. And that was a bit of a surprise to me. I thought when there was that whole discussion a few months back about Dropbox, when they changed their terms of service, I thought it was discussed at that point about the that you had to have copyright on anything you put onto Dropbox. But I obviously misremembered that, because Rob has described it in a much more sensible way. And I checked up on the Dropbox website, dropbox.com/help/210. And looked up the copyright page on there, and it says you should only use shared folders, public links and photo galleries for files that you have the legal right to share with others. And it goes on a bit further. By all means, read that page if you want to learn more about this. But it does specifically talk about obviously the public and public links and photo galleries, which are presumably public as well. But it also talked about shared folders. So it's not as global as I thought it was before. But it's more than just the public folders, which was what Rob was saying. It's also about shared folders. So yeah, allegedly you can put something you don't own the copyright to in your own private personal folders on Dropbox, as if they were just attached storage or internal storage on your devices. So even though they're on the cloud and could be accessed by, you know, I don't know, hackers or whatever. So even though they're up there and they're stored on Dropbox's servers, they don't mind that it's copyright material that you don't own the copyright to. It's only if you then use Dropbox for sharing those files with others, whether it's in a restricted shared arrangement or a public sharing folder. So yeah, I've definitely learned something there as well. So that's been a really interesting discussion. I'm hoping that this detailed discussion, which is, you know, is a discussion that for the likes of Rob and me, who are, you know, people that like to get into the technicalities and the rights and wrongs and stuff, and we might get a bit pedantic, and I know I get pedantic. So this is probably not really hugely of interest to McColgan, who raised the question in the first place. And I wouldn't want McColgan to be scared off of using Dropbox because of the stuff that we've talked about. But hopefully, you know, when it comes to the copyright stuff, I'm hoping it's a little bit clearer now. So I've learned, and I hope that's clear for Mac as well, as to what you should and shouldn't put in different places in your Dropbox. And when I say should and shouldn't, you know, that's what's legally mandated. But obviously there's nothing technical to stop you from doing it. But obviously don't get caught, and I don't condone you doing that. But yeah, it's obviously well worth being aware of the sort of the legalities of sharing documents. But I mean, that is not unique to Dropbox. That would be true of whatever you were doing, whether you were posting a video to YouTube or putting a file somewhere else for someone to pick up. You always need to be aware of the copyright issues there. But it is, I just definitely find it interesting the pragmatic approach that Dropbox take for your private folders, and that your private folders can contain media or materials that you don't own the copyright to. So that's still good to know that you can, you know, if you download a song from iTunes on one computer and you want to transfer it to another computer, you can put it in your private Dropbox and get it to move to your other computer that way. It's good to know you can do that. So that's really, really helpful, you know. Particularly, you know, say you wanted to have, you know, you downloaded a movie and you wanted to put it in your Dropbox so you could pick it up on your iPad and then watch that movie on the iPad without specifically having to sync it onto the iPad by any other means other than just by dropping it into the Dropbox on the computer that you have that movie in the first place. So, cool stuff. Hope that's helpful. And by all means, reach out to me if you've got any questions, Mac. If there's anything else I've got wrong on that, Rob, be good to hear from you and get your further thoughts on the subject. It's been interesting. I've learned from this. It's good. Cool. Right. That's enough from me for now. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care of yourselves. Speak to you again soon. Toodle-boo.